welcome to another inspirational message from the Breath of Life Church. I pray you will be blessed.
At this time, I want to invite your attention back to the book of James, chapter 3. And I will be reading in your hearing verses 1 through 12. Hopefully you're already in James, that you're able to find it, Elder Williams. And all you got to do is go over two chapters. Hear ye the word of the Lord. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our God and Father. And with it, we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. For a few moments, I want to speak to you on the subject, the beast within. Let us pray. O Lord, let your word be heard. Let your will be revealed. Let your spirit accomplish what it pleases. May hearts be changed. May lives be transformed. And may your name be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. One more acknowledgement. I see you, Keaton. Glad to see you here, bro. Thank you. There is a fictional character by the name of Robert Bruce Banner, the brainchild of Marvel Comics. On the surface, looking at him, there's nothing very special. He is a physically weak, socially withdrawn, emotionally reserved individual of European descent. Let those who have ears to hear, let them hear. However, he is a brilliant scientist and has a doctorate in nuclear physics. But one day, while working in the lab, he was exposed to gamma radiation, resulting from an accidental detonation of an experimental bomb, thus creating within himself a muscle-bound, green-skinned, monstrous beast called the Hulk. Bruce Banner becomes this independent personality called the Hulk, an incredibly powerful living mass of destruction when he is subjected to emotional stress. Let those who have ears, let them hear. And his level of strength is normally proportionate, Al, to his level of anger. But there is a very real, very non-fictional character by the name of James. James, the half-brother of Jesus. James, the author of the book that bears his name and is the focus of the message today, who writes about another beast, a very powerful beast, a dreadful and terrible beast that is found within every member of the human race. It has been said that the most ferocious monster in the world has his den just behind the teeth. This monster, this beast, makes the incredible Hulk look like a 95-pound weakling with sand getting kicked in his face, EJ. You know what I'm talking about. This beast is known as the Tom. James seemed to show significant interest in this unique beast. It was of such great concern to him that he mentioned it in each of the five chapters of his epistle. That's five chapters. And each one he talks about this unique beast. Go check it out for yourselves. Yet his most detailed comments about the tongue are found in chapters 3, verses 1 through 12. James noted four significant characteristics of this beast, this symbol of human speech that is worthy of our attention today as well. The first of which was the tongue's deceptive power. James 3, verses 3 through 5 says, "We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in his mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire." James noted that this tongue's power appears to be disproportionate to its size. After all, it is merely a small 2 to 3 inch skeletal muscle with mucous membrane. Yet, the tongue possesses tremendous power. Proverbs 18:21 says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. James uses two analogies to make the point that the tongue is small, but the tongue is mighty. Both the bit and the rudder. Now, a bit will direct the actions of a horse, though it is quite small, Ron, in comparison to the size of the horse. A rudder will determine the direction of a ship, despite its insignificant size in comparison to the ship. Likewise, James points out the tongue will direct the actions and determine the direction of our entire body, even though it is one of the smallest members of our body. Our life is destined to go in some direction, either for good or for evil. And the activity of the tongue is certain to be a determinate factor. James further solidifies his point that although small, the tongue packs a great wallop by saying it's like a lit cigarette being thrown in a dry forest. Which transitions us to this next characteristic of this beast, its destructive potency. James 3, verse 6 says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell." On October 8, 1871, in a barn in Chicago, a cow accidentally kicked over a lantern. That lantern fell in some hay. That hay caught fire, and from that fire, it spread. And when the fire was over, over 100,000 people were left homeless. 17,500 buildings were destroyed. 300 people lost their lives. And it cost the city over $400 million just because of one spark. One small spark of likewise. The tongue is like this fire. It is incendiary, and it doesn't take much to ignite. One small spark of backbiting. One small spark of criticism. One small spark of gossip. One small spark of slander. Half-truths and flat-out lies can rapidly spread destruction and create everlasting damage. The tongue has destroyed marriages. The tongue has closed churches. The tongue has fractured friendships. The tongue has ruined reputations. The tongue has broken hearts. And whoever said that sticks and stones will break my bones, but words would never hurt me, just flat out lied. Words hurt, words maim, words kill, and words destroy. It has been said that the most powerful, the most dangerous, the most destructive weapon in the world is a 3-inch animal that lives in a pool of saliva behind an ivory cage of teeth known as the tongue. Yet, and despite the tongue's power to damage and destroy, to divide and separate, James notices something. He notices that the tongue is unaffected, and is unaffected because of the next characteristic, its defiant predisposition. James 3, verse 7 and 8, the Bible says, "For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poisons. Having considered the power of the tongue and its effect upon others, James observes just how buck wild the tongue is. In other words, the tongue has an attitude problem. I wanted to say stank, but you know, y'all might be recording that. And the problem is, Elder Cato, is that the tongue always knows what the problem is. It will spot off about anything and everything. It will not hesitate to spit its venomous words of fault finding, put downs, and sarcastic remarks. And if it does not like something, you will hear about it. The tongue will give you a piece of its mind. The tongue will put you in your place. The tongue will set you straight. The tongue will keep it real and will tell you the truth, at least how it sees it. And the tongue will bust you out. Why? Because the tongue is unhinged, unruly, and uncontrollable. Which brings up something quite interesting, Ron. Humankind was given dominion over every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea. Mankind can charm snakes, get bears to dance, get dolphins to talk, have lions and tigers jumping through hoops, have elephants standing on their heads, train dogs to find drugs, and walk a blind person across a busy intersection. But James finds it amazing that no man, no woman, no boy, no girl, not a pastor, not an elder, not a deacon, not a deaconess, not a Sabbath school teacher, not an usher, not a greeter, not a choir member, not a board member, not a church member or non-member, and even as the Lion and the Wizard of Oz said, not nobody but nohow can tame that beast within we call the tongue. Now that ought to be enough right there. But James is not finished. The characteristic of the tongue. Now think about this. He's talked about how deceptive the power of the tongue is. He's talked about its predisposition. He's talked about its destructiveness. But that ain't really what disturbed James that much. What disturbed James to no end was its deviant personality. James 3, 9 through 12. With our tongues, we praise our Lord and Father. Yet, with the same tongues, we curse people. Not just any kind of people, but the people who were created in God's likeness. Praises and curses come from the same mouth. James says, my brothers and my sisters, this should not happen. Do clean and polluted waters flow out of the same spring? Can a fig produce olives? Can a grapevine produce figs? In the same way, a pool of salt water cannot produce fresh water. Now, up to now, James has really just been a passive observer of this beast within mankind. This thing we call the tongue. But this final characteristic, this deviant personality of the beast, has compelled James to speak out and say that praises and curses coming from the same tongue should not and ought not be. I'm going to just let that marinate for a minute, because we're going somewhere. Using my creative imagination, and putting James' words in contemporary terms, I can hear James saying, wait a minute, hold up, time out. You honestly believe that you can come all up in the Lord's house on the Lord's day and worship him in spirit and in truth, get your praise on, and with the same tongue find fault, criticize, demean, degrade, defame, slander, gossip against, and say negative things about your brother or your sister who has been made in his image? Are you for real? Are you serious? Are you kidding me? Is this a joke? Come on, man. Joe, I don't get it. Where they at? Let those who have ears to hear, let them hear. A little girl sat with her arms wrapped around her father's neck. But her mother observed that over her father's shoulder, she was sticking out her tongue at her little brother. The mother responded by saying, take your arms from around your father's neck. You cannot love your father and at the same time stick out your tongue at his son. Brothers and sisters, I'm done. Because James is done. But I want to leave you with this. This tongue, that dreaded beast within all of us, I said in all of us, without exception, is indeed powerful, is indeed destructive, is indeed defiant, and is indeed deviant. James has made that abundantly clear. But Evans, Elder Chambers, what I find very disconcerting, and it disturbed me to no end, that James never gives any advice or offers any solution to the problem of the tongue. He only lets us know we have this beast within us, and that it cannot be controlled by us. But maybe, just maybe, it was because of who he was and who he knew. After all, he was our Lord's brother. He knew the man from Galilee, the man who tamed the tongue, the man who did no sin and no guile was found in his mouth. The man whose lips constantly flowed with holy and ennobling truths. The man who spoke as no man has ever spoke before, with pathos that touched the human heart. And this man, the man called Jesus, said that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew 12, 34 and 35. You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you and me speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of his heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of his evil heart. But I got some good news for you, saints. This same Jesus has made us a promise. He recognized just how jacked up, messed up, and pathetic our heart really is. So he has promised us something. Ezekiel 36, 26 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove the stony heart from your body and replace it with a heart that's God-willed instead of self-willed. The inspired writer says that only through Christ can we gain the victory over the desire for hasty speech, unchrist-like words. When in his strength, we refuse to give utterance to Satan, his suggestions, the plant of bitterness in our heart will wither and dies. The Holy Spirit can make the tongue, this beast, this terrible beast, this dreaded beast that we find within ourselves, the Holy Spirit can make that tongue a savor of life unto life. Today, this was a universal message, because there is no one in here that it wasn't meant for, including the speaker of the hour. So my appeal today is quite simple. If the Holy Spirit has revealed to you that there is a powerful, destructive, defiant, and deviant beast within you that we call the tongue, which you lack the ability to control, and realize that it's really not a tongue problem, but a heart problem, I ask that you stand with me as Elder Littles comes and ask God to create in us a new heart and renew a right tongue control spirit within us. Because if you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourselves, and your religion is worthless.
Thank you for listening to another exciting message from the Breath of Life Church. Please share this message and be blessed. For more information, please go to www.bolchurchmd.org.